Welcome to Your Prayer Intentions with author Peter and Jimmy. And we welcome your prayers at WQPHradio.org.
Oh Mary, send my prayers to heaven. Don't let another day go by. You can ask the Lord to help me. When my cross gets heavy and my soul is dry, oh Jesus, hear my cry. Oh Mary, send my prayers to the sky, along with all of my intentions, every word takes flight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Your Prayer Intentions. Very happy to spend the next 30 minutes with you as we pray for your prayer intentions. And as this week's gospel, it being near the end of Lent, is a long one, we're going to go straight to the gospel so that we can get started and make sure we have time for everything. And this is John chapter 9. As Jesus passed, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and smeared the clay onto his eyes, and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't that the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but I said, "Nah, it just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and I was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So the Pharisees asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath." But the others said, "How could a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight, until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked him, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. We don't know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age, he can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." So a second time they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He said to them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we don't know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if one is devout and he does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man was not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered him and said to him, "You were born totally in sin and you're trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found them and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking to you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But because you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." Now, a couple of things I want to bring up here from this passage. The first is the big ending, you know, where he says to the Pharisees, you know, "Because you say you see, your sin remains." In other words, they are saying, "We know what we're supposed to do. We know the law and the prophets. We know the way we're supposed to act." So they're not ignorant. They're not ignorant. They should not be ignorant of the scripture that points to Christ. They should not be ignorant of the works of God. And because they claim to know how God works and how God thinks, when they don't recognize it, their sin remains. Now, if they were people who didn't understand this, if they didn't see, that would be a different story. Second thing I want to talk about is that this scripture answers something. There's always the question, why is there evil in the world? Why is there such a thing as a child with cancer? Why is there such a thing as all of these different terrible things that happen in the world? And Jesus, when they're asked, was this guy's sin that he was born blind? His answer is, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be visible through him." Now think about a child who's disabled or a child with cancer. What generally happens? Their parents work hard to take care of them. Their parents tend to go to great lengths. And the community tends to open up. And you see the best of people. You see kindness. You see charity. You see doctors working very hard to save them. In other words, you see the works of God. The works of God become visible through him. Over and over, when you see tragedy, and tragedy that's unearned, people respond. They respond out of pity. They respond out of love. And God is love. And when you see people responding with love and with charity and with prayer, which is faith, faith, hope, and charity, the great virtues, what are you seeing? You are seeing the works of God that have become visible through them, through that suffering. Say, but why do these people die? Well, I also want to remind people of something, and I'm going to quote a line from a television show. There was a television show, the Richard Sharp series. There's an episode where Sharp's Sergeant Harper has taken up with a woman named Ramona, and they have a child together, but he hasn't married her because he's an Irishman and he's afraid of what people will say because she's Spanish. And they're besieging the city, and the lady introduces the son to this priest who's there. "Oh, you have a fine son, Mrs. Harper," and it gets quiet because she's not Mrs. Harper. So during the battle, Sergeant Harper gets wounded, says, "Am I going to die, Father?" "Yes, my son. Is there something you'd like to confess? I wish I had married Ramona." "There's still time to do it." He calls her over and he marries them on the spot. And he says, "Now get up and go kiss your wife." And he says, "But Father, you said I was going to die." And he looks at him and says, "We're all going to die, Patrick." Because there was a tragedy, facing his own death, he had regret and did the right thing, not realizing that he wasn't going to die yet. And that's something else. We talk about death, this is a terrible tragedy. Every single one of us who is born is destined to die. Everyone who is listening to this broadcast, you're all on borrowed time. You're all going to die. And I'm going to die too. Probably a lot sooner than a lot of you who are listening, as I'm getting old and my father died at 66, and I'm going to be 63 in a couple of months, so you never know. But we're all going to die. The graveyards are full of all of our ancestors who also died. It's not a question of whether or not we're going to die. It's a question of how we're going to die and when we're going to die. And if during our lives we make a difference. And a lot of times people who suffer who shouldn't be suffering or that we don't perceive should be suffering end up making the people around them better. End up making people closer to God. And the suffering puts people in perspective. They tend to appreciate things. Now, does that mean I want to suffer? No. I'm not Saint Rita. If I was this more saintly person, I'd probably want to suffer a little more than I do. But the point is that God understands these things. He understands how this works. But I also want to notice a third thing, that the Pharisees were disagreeing. Some were, you know, how could this, he's breaking this rule, but he's doing this thing. And they're trying to figure out between the letter and the spirit of the law. Because, of course, if they understood Jesus was God, they wouldn't dispute God doing what he wants. You know, remember what Eli said when Samuel told him that God said he was going to punish Eli's family for all of the bad things they'd done. And Eli's answer was, he's God, let him do what he thinks is right, because that's God. And again, look at the pressure that the Pharisees put on the family. They are not allowed to celebrate this great thing because of the fear of retribution, which is a shame. Yet the person who's been blind and who's been given his sight, he sees much clearer. He can see what this is going on. Now, I also want to bring up one final thing. A lot of times, people, when good things happen to us, we thank God for them. And when bad things happen to us, we pray for God for help. Like when I'm talking about looking for a job, we pray for help. But remember, it's not a punishment if bad things happen to us. And we shouldn't just celebrate when bad things happen to people. Because how we treat people, our mercy is going to determine our mercy. Remember, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Got to be willing to deal with mercy. Got to be willing to have mercy on people. Got to be willing to not judge where they are on their path this Lent. Because sometimes people are going to do it right. Sometimes people are going to do it wrong. Sometimes it's going to take people a lot of time. Some people pass their driver's test the first time. Some people have to take it 3 to 5 times before they pass it. But as long as you pass the test, you're where you need to be. And as long as we follow Christ, we'll be where we need to be. And that's how we have to look at these things. That's how we have to look at tragedy. And we have to be open to the idea that God will use something for the good of others, even if it's something that we think is bad. And it's less bad than unlucky. It's bad for a person. But a disease isn't good or bad. A disease is. It is. It's not something that someone does to a person unless someone purposely infects somebody else. So consider this. And one of the things we have to watch out for is people blaming God for bad things. The world is the plaything of the devil. And our way to cope with it is God. There's a reason why the devil is called Prince of the World. It's very funny that the devil is the Prince of the World, but yet blame God for their problems. You have to be ready for this. You also have to have pity for people if they're having trouble dealing with problems. That's why you have to pray for them. Because the other side is always going to be out to destroy them. So don't give them any help along those lines. And now let's get to our prayer requests. We'll go first to the prayer wall over here. And we have some long prayer requests on the prayer wall. And some of them I'm not going to read it verbatim. And I might just get down to the nitty-gritty. There's a couple here. And I want to repeat something I've said again. Please just hit the post button once. Because a person put up the post button several times on a couple of these things. And there's some pictures that were included. Okay, the first one here is, please agree with intercession for comfort for a coworker of mine named Valerie H. Valerie, not spelled the same way as my Valerie, my wife, is a skilled electronic technician who is definitely not my wife, for working on our electronics department for 10 years. She knows more about alarm systems than I, despite the fact that I know more of electronics in general. I was hired as a lead tech, but defer to Valerie as senior tech. Valerie was scheduled to help interview potential new recruits this week on March 9th after I declined doing so as lead tech, deferring to her tenure. Some last-minute mechanisms have ousted her from interviewing for frivolous reasons and possibly due to male, well, it says make chauvinism. I'm presuming that's male chauvinism. When I challenged our supervisor on the last-minute decision, he himself was a male chauvinist, his answer is, you had your chance to do the interview. Besides, the person we're looking for will occupy the same kind of position as Valerie, so she can't do the interview. So he asks us to pray for this person, Valerie, and we will pray for her. And below that, I work for Fulton County Government in Georgia as a lead technician. It's nice to know we have a bit of a reach because remember, WQPH is online. My boss's name is Jay St. Pierre. He's an anti-Semite, a male chauvinist, and prejudiced against white people. The majority of my co-workers are black like myself, so this is a black person saying this. He won't heed advice from anyone, and my intercessions do not appear to be working. I need God to act by removing him, transfer him to somewhere else, or I'm going to quit if I can't find even a temporary job with a higher salary. The whole county government is corrupt, lacking honesty, humility, impartiality, and nobility. Please ask God to open a new job in the private sector with ethnic diversity when innovation is rewarded, and the 65K year salary I had at my last job. I pledge obedience to the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, but the level of corruption is identical to what my father faced in the private sector in 79 from a guy named Harris, a womanizer, thoroughly corrupt, which almost destroyed my dad who fought him. I don't want my life to be a replay of my dad's. Now, there's a couple of things here I want to unpack on that prayer request. And obviously, this fellow is having some issues that he's trying to deal with. God is acting by us saying the prayers for this person. But you can't, but the thing, my intercessions do not appear to be working. The most important thing, and I've said this many, many, many times, and I speak as somebody who's going to be needing a job really bad pretty soon. Faith is not believing in God, because God is a reality. Faith is understanding and trusting that God knows what he's doing, even if he hasn't told us. So we're going to pray for this intention. And we're going to pray for this guy as well, because he has to understand that God knows what he's doing. And if my best advice would be to offer this up, offer this suffering up in penance for people's sins, or to offer it up for this person's sins, or this person that you dislike. That would be a good piece of advice. We have a prayer request for Carrie Bassiano for her conversion and return as a wife and a mother. We have a prayer request for financial assistance for Trinidad Flores and Siles, a person with cancer as well. We have a prayer request for a sister who has been ill. We have a prayer request for Laura Casey. We have a prayer request for children to become back to the church. Again, most popular prayer request we get. We're praying for... Okay, I'm trying to read this writing here. We're going to pray for the Flores family. There's Jonathan, Juliana, and Isabella Flores. We're praying for them to come back to the faith. Praying for people to... for family relationships to be healed, to bring good blood flow back to a young lady's leg, a young mother's leg. So we'll pray for that, and cause I have some written prayers. And pray for the healing of Marianne, and pray for the healing of Anne. And our standing prayer request for the two Mariannes, for Mary Lotz, for the soul of Nancy, for Jake, for the priests who serve the area, for the donors to WQPH, and we're so grateful for you because you keep us going. For the success of the Catholic Men's Conference. For the intentions of the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia. And for the Sisters of the Rosary. Now, since we've prayed for the man, did the gospel of the man who was born blind and the Pharisees were debating, we're going to do the fifth joyful mystery, which might not seem a little odd, but the fifth joyful mystery is a prayer. We generally offer that for wisdom. And so that fits, because the Pharisees, some of them are getting it, some of them aren't, so we're going to pray for their wisdom and for people's wisdom in this. And we're going to pray these prayers in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The fifth joyful mystery is the finding of the child Jesus in the temple. We offer the Lord Jesus this fifth decade, and honor that I find it in the child Jesus in the temple. And we ask of thee through this mystery and through this intercession, thy Holy Mother, a gift of true wisdom. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls into heaven, especially those who are most needed of thy mercy. May the grace and mystery of the finding of the child Jesus come down to us in the temple, come down to our souls. Amen. Now we offer the next prayers for those doing the indulgence calendar, for the intentions of the Holy Father, and also for all of those who did not get a chance to post a prayer request. Glory be to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer thee the most precious blood of thy divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, and those in my own home and within my own family. Amen. Our Father, what in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in the day of battle. Bear defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan, all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. We pray all of these things in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, before I do the final prayer, which I know you can always tell when I'm running a little long because I'm talking faster than normal, just remember that this Lent is all about improving ourselves. Remember that when you're tempted to critique someone else, easiest way to get out of that trap is to stay off of social media, in my opinion. But we're going to go from there. Now, the closing prayer in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God of mercy, as we reach out to those seeking you, send forth your Holy Spirit upon this show, this station, the stations that carry this show, all the other shows here, and all of the listeners to all of our shows to renew us in faith. Enable us to share the good news of the gospel with loving words and caring deeds so that those who have drifted away may be drawn to your church and follow the way of your Son, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the light. We make our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Till next week, this is Peter and Jemmy of Knights of Columbus Council 15962 saying goodbye and God bless from your prayer intentions. Our job is to get ourselves to heaven and to take as many people as we can with us. That is why there is a WQPH.
Please consider being a sponsor or an underwriter for these broadcasts. Visit WQPHradio.org or contact Marianne at 617-459-8735. 617-459-8735.
Tim Kilcoyne, WQPH Radio 89.3 FM, offering a Lenten reflection that I hope will be practical and represent your needs, not your necessary desires. I'm reminded of a book called Three Irish Saints, St. Brendan, St. Patrick, and St. Bridget. St. Brendan was noted for being a thinker, St. Patrick a doer, and St. Bridget a lover. Now think, what must you do to balance and integrate all three of those charisms? You could go visit a monastery, sit still before the Blessed Sacrament, take some time out with a good book before Jesus. You could visit that nursing home. Maybe a grandmother or an old aunt is still there waiting. And a little casual catechesis with an old friend that needs to discover the Catholic faith. Try any one of the three or all of them. God bless you.
On the WQPH 89.3 FM community calendar, there'll be a Catholic event at St. Joseph's Parish in Fitchburg on 46 Woodland Street on May 14th. Featuring Catholic speaker Christopher West, who will be giving a talk on theology of the body. The church doors will open at 6:30. The event will run till 9:30 with a half-hour intermission. You can get tickets in advance for $25 or $30 at the door. And you can also get tickets online at aflontickets.com/thewellfitchburg. That's aflontickets.com/thewellfitchburg. That's Christopher West speaking on Theology of the Body at St. Joseph's Church, 46 Woodland Street in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, Thursday, May 14th. This has been the WQPH 89.3 FM Community Calendar.
This is the Lenten season, a time to open our hearts again to welcome the Word of God. May this be a time of conversion for all of us, a time to welcome God, to welcome Him into our hearts, our lives. May that Word continue to refresh us and renew us. This is Father Rodriguez, wishing you a holy, holy Lent.
Father Leonard Mary will be joining us at WQPH in April of this year.
I'm here in Assisi at the Church of San Damiano, where St. Francis prayed many prayers, especially in front of the cross of San Damiano. And he had a great devotion to Jesus crucified. And one of the prayers he prayed, especially to know and be in the will of God, is a prayer before the crucifix. Join me in praying this prayer. All highest, glorious God, cast a light into the darkness of my heart. Give me right faith, firm hope, perfect charity, and profound humility, so that I may know and do your holy will. Amen. God bless you all.
Hello, this is Kendra Von Esch. A lot of people ask me, why are you always so happy? No matter what happens to you, you radiate this energy that is contagious. Well, it's kind of crazy when I answer them with, you know, it's God. He gave me this joy, and it is nothing like happiness. It doesn't go away, and it's because He also graced me with faith. And I have to laugh as I watch their face and their head tilt to the side like a dog looking at you with a big question mark. It typically leads to a much longer conversation about my faith, and I welcome that with open arms. If you don't have joy radiating out of every pore, beg God for it. Joy is the best net to catch fish. For more inspiration, my podcast, and free resources, go to KendraVonEsch.com.
This is Peter and Jemmy, host of Your Prayer Intentions, every Saturday here on 89.3 WQPH Shirley Fitchburg. Do you have a prayer request that you'd like me to pray for, or perhaps the whole community? Well, include that prayer request in an email. Specify if you want it on air or off, and email that prayer request to WQPH893@comcast.net. Let me repeat that. It's WQPH893@comcast.net, and we will pray for you. If you have an urgent request that you're looking for immediate prayer, tweet me directly at the Tech Guy Blog on Twitter or the Tech Guy Blog on Gab. God bless you.